Psalm 34. Verse 1, let's hear the word of God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing as we have opportunity to consider and meditate upon the Holy Scriptures. We ask that the Holy Spirit will illuminate the Scriptures to us, that our hearts and our minds will be open to receive it. I thank you for it. Amen. You know, many times, it seems anyway, Scripture exhorts us to do what we maybe would rather not do. Jesus in Matthew 5 tells us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us. And that just doesn't seem right. That's just not natural. We'd like to love our enemies with a knuckle sandwich. That's not what the Lord meant. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, said, in everything, give thanks. Well, you know, everything covers a lot of ground. And it's just plain hard to give thanks for everything. And yet the same scripture that Paul tells us to give thanks for everything tells us that that is the will of God for us, to be giving thanks. Again, to the Ephesians, Paul writes, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, that doesn't mean simply obscenities or profanity. Corrupt communication means worthless words. But how many are spoken every day by untamed tongues? These are things that the Scripture exhorts us to do or not do, and it just goes against the grain. Now, when David wrote this psalm, he was experiencing some difficulties in his life. You can go back, not now, but you can go back to 1 Samuel chapter 21 and find the exact framework around which this psalm was written. Saul, you recall, was trying to kill David. And he fled. And he attempted to take refuge to find some solace, oddly enough, with the king of Gath, Achish. He's sometimes referred to as Abimelech, but it's the same guy. And Achish was no friend of Israel. But it's one of those situations where maybe David was hoping that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so he could find some type of refuge there. But not so much. And in fact, what it really turned out to be was David was leaping out of the frying pan into the fire. Some of Achish's servants recognized him. And once David understood that, he became a little bit fearful. And so he did what any of us are inclined to do. In difficult situations like that, he decided to test his acting skills. David pretended to be insane. It's kind of interesting because I'm sure up to this point, he was not pretending to be insane. I'm sure he was just being David, just trying to keep a low profile, trying to be safe, you know, from any pursuit that Saul might have had for him. But all of a sudden he went nuts! He started clawing at the doors. Grabbing at the doors and scratching them. And he started drooling. One does not picture a king drooling. And there's David. At that point in time, he's not the kind of guy you want to invite home to dinner. Considering the mental state he may have been in or perceived to be in, you may be dinner. You know, so you don't invite him over. Well, apparently, David was a sufficient enough actor that it worked. And in fact, Achish, he said, do I need another madman in this kingdom? I really don't. I have enough nutballs around here. I need to get, you know, just. And David was helped along out of Gath on his way. He remained safe. God kept him in that situation. And David is out. He's escaped another difficult situation. And he has a moment where he can catch his breath and enjoy a little bit of rest. And he used the time that he had to write a song, this 34th Psalm. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. In a situation where at any moment an enemy may appear, whose only mission is to take David's life, David sings God's praise. You know, it's not always easy to do the right thing. Sometimes it's a real struggle. Sometimes you really have to fight to do the right thing. You have to say within yourself, I will do what's right, regardless. You know, once we are regenerate, we can will to do good. Prior to that, we have no will to do good. Our will is in bondage, and we can only do evil, even if what we appear to be doing on the surface is good, in God's eyes, it's filth. It is only after Christ and His grace regenerates us that we have a truly free will, a will that can do more than just evil, a will that can do good. And we have to do, as David says here, say to ourselves, I will do this. He expresses a determination to do something right. And he is strengthened by the power of the Almighty to see it through. Sometimes it's a very difficult thing for us to do the right thing. But difficult doesn't mean impossible. And if it's a right thing to do, then we must do it anyway. We have to gear up and do that. So what was it that David willed? What was his determination? What was it that he was going to do regardless? It was a desire to bless God. A desire to praise the Lord. Now, considering his dilemma, wouldn't it have been much easier to complain to God? Or even vent his anger? To say, God, if you're so big, if you're so strong, if you are so knowledgeable of all these things, if nothing occurs outside of your decree, Why don't you fix this? Why don't you? You know I've been a faithful servant. You know, my whole life I've been trying to do things. Why don't you just fix it? And why me, God? Why pick on me? I'm just a wee, humble shepherd / musician who loves you. Why are you doing this to me? You see, these are the natural impulses that we have. When things don't go our way, when things look kind of bleak for us, when someone may be out to take our life, I don't know if that's happened to you. It was happening to David. Wouldn't it be natural to say, hey, bail me out of this mess? But that's not what David did. He refused to yield to his natural impulses. And he preferred, rather than complain or curse, to offer praise, to bless the Lord. And not only did David desire to bless God, but the desire extended to every situation, to every circumstance. I will bless the Lord at all times. The good times, the bad times, the indifferent times. Whatever it is, whether I'm feeling top of the world, whether I'm feeling lower than a snake's belly, be it a time when Publisher's Clearinghouse is pulled into my driveway, or I received the letter from the attorney saying I'm being sued, all of these times, whether I have been crowned king of Israel, or whether I'm being pursued as a prey by a king who's gone mad. I will bless the Lord at all times. He didn't leave himself an out. The Lord is worthy of our praise, no matter what the condition, because he is the Lord. God needs no other reason for our praise other than the fact that he is God. He is our creator. He is our redeemer. He is our provider, and he is our protector. He is our hope of eternal salvation. And it's in him alone we must place our trust. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. David had done a brilliant job of acting. Would have won an Oscar that year. He'd convinced Achish that he was insane. And that performance earned him a temporary trip out of harm's way. For the moment, he was safe. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't sit back and take that opportunity and say, you know what? I really did do a good job. I really was convincing. You know, all those servants of Achish who were standing around who were sure that they knew who I was, man, when I went off the deep end, they weren't so sure anymore. I was really something. You know what? I should be paid more for my next movie. He didn't spend any time at all dwelling on how good he was. He didn't think about his own glory. The only thing that concerned him at that moment was praising God. And that was the only thing that he was going to concentrate on and he was going to focus on. In fact, in verse 2, he said, if there was any boasting, that it should be in the Lord, not his performance. It was his praise, God's praise, that was going to be continually in his mouth. When we do a good job, don't we like to be patted on the back? Have somebody tell you, hey, you did a good job. Of course. And there's nothing wrong with that. People will tell me occasionally, one fellow in particular will come up to me after a service and he'll say, good word. I'll say, thanks. It's God's word, you know. I did my best to break it open, but it's God's word. And I got to admit, that it makes me feel a little uncomfortable. But at the same time, it makes me feel like maybe my preparation was worthwhile. That maybe something that God communicated in his word to you was effective, was enabling for you to move along that path of sanctification. Something that you can please him better. But David doesn't spend any time thinking about that. He says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Continually. Continually. Not continuously. Spurgeon said, to bless the Lord is never unseasonable. His praise continually in my mouth. Why did he say my mouth and not my heart? Why did he say his praise shall continually be in my heart? Maybe he didn't have to, because see, Jesus taught us that the mouth reveals the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He had to have it in there in order for it to come out. To have his praise continually in our mouth does not mean that we are non-stop talkers like every word that comes out of our mouth is praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Because if that were the case, nothing else would get accomplished in life. Jesus didn't walk the earth saying praise God. Praise God, praise God. Jesus had to minister to people. He had to speak to people. So what is he saying? His praise will continually be in my mouth. It doesn't speak necessarily to a constant stream of words, but it does speak to an attitude of heart. It does speak to the idea that we have an attitude of praise towards God all the time, and that praise to him coming out of our mouth is not a foreign thing to us. We should pray for that. We should pray that we might have that constant attitude, an attitude of praise that is demonstrated on a daily basis, perhaps even often during the day, several times a day. But at least every day we should be not bashful, not shy, that we should be able to speak praise to the Lord. because he is worthy. The attitude manifests itself in the words that we speak. There are people who've simply developed speech patterns, sometimes less than honorable speech patterns. A couple years ago, I had to train a driver who I had known previously. I was working for one company, he was working for another company, and our paths crossed and we met and, you know, talked a little bit. Never anything in depth, whatever. But this fellow came to work for us, and it was my responsibility to take him out and train him. And nice guy. Worst mouth you could possibly imagine. He had developed a pattern of speaking that almost every other word was a profanity or an obscenity. I mean, it was just that, and he was comfortable. I mean, that's just the way he was. That's the way he learned to speak, and it's blowing my mind. And I'm thinking, I got to be 3 days with this guy, you know? And it's just like, it never ends. There have been people that I've met in the past that have come from similar types of backgrounds. But the Lord has blessed them, has regenerated them, converted them. And so what they've done is transfer. The words that they used to use, they set aside. And now it's the praise the Lord day. Yeah. God is good. Well, I was out, praise the Lord, and we did this, praise the Lord, and praise God, and it's just, it's meaningless. It's words, it fills up space in their language, but they've transferred, so they're not, you know, using George Carlin's 7 words you can't use on television or whatever. They transferred from that to, you know, seemingly good language. But it has no meaning to it. There is no heart behind it. It's just transference. We need to, you know, we say thank God for that, you know, that they're using that kind of language. But it would be best if they had an attitude, a heart attitude, that it meant something when they spoke. They simply replace one set of language for another. Our prayer should be that God would grant and maintain this attitude of continuous praise within our hearts. If we can take the time to meditate on the work that Christ did on our behalf, if we can sit back and just say, you know what, I am a depraved sinner. I need a Savior. I need the love of God in my life. Those are building blocks. Those are stepping stones. Those are ways to obtain that attitude. And of course, you don't get it on your own. You got to have help, which God happily provides. Spend some time feeding upon His Word. Go and say, you know what? Today I just don't feel like a Christian. In fact, I feel like anything but a Christian. Go to 1 John. See what 1 John says about it. Yeah. Is it your desire to keep the commandments of the Lord? Well, yeah, I want to. Today, not so much, but I want to. There's a starting point. Well, if you're having trouble there, then see, we go to God in repentance. We say, Lord, I don't really feel like being a Christian today, and I know that's wrong because what you did for me so long ago is so much more important to us that forgive me for my foolishness. Forgive me for my hardened heart. And instead, give me a heart that will express your praise. Give me a heart that will overflow through my mouth and say, you know what, your praise is continually in my mouth. That's where we need to be. That's where we need to go. As I said right at the very start of this thing, sometimes doing the right thing is not the easy thing. But it's never wrong to do the right thing. And in fact, it's important that we do the right thing. So we say, God, forgive me for my shortcomings. Forgive me for my failings. Forgive me for those things. Soften my heart. Fill me with that attitude that says your praise will continually be in my mouth. That I will have the desire, the determination to indeed bless your name at all times. Let's pray.